back to Luke 24. I also would like to look again at what we used in devotional last Sabbath. And what I would like to do with you is read through verses 1 through 35, taking note along the way at different things that came to attention. We mentioned last Sabbath about the two traveling on the road to Emmaus and the events revealed and related there. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 35. But if you will, first we will ask for guidance and help. Gracious Master, we thank you, Master, for that which has already been set before us in this little place. We thank you for the days past, Master, the teachings we have received, the mercies that we have known, that we have experienced. And we ask now, Master, that you'd be pleased to once again direct us this little assemblage of living souls, Master, in this hour, that you would guide them in that which you have for them. That which is beneficial to each, and that we trust will be glorifying to thy name. We thank you for the mercy with which you have dealt with us in this week, and having now delivered us each to this moment, we ask for thy guidance. For the direction of thy Holy Spirit, Master, to better see and better understand what is written here. Do continue to keep our dear pastor who travels, and in that place, Master, that you'd guide him and direct him as he is involved with family and friends and church, whomever it may be, for a safe return. We ask, O Lord, now for thy guidance in this hour. Let us not offend you, nor bring dishonor to your great name. In Christ's precious name, Master, we do pray. Amen. I don't remember exactly how I got started on these few verses. But as I went home last week and continued to think on what was to be for today. Eventually, I was overwhelmed with the idea that I should not leave this place, Luke chapter 24, just yet. If you will, let's begin with verse 1. Crucifixion has taken place, and verse 1 begins, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulcher, and told all those things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. An additional observation is made here. The two angels said, Remember what he said to you down in Galilee. They go and give the report. And it sounds like an idle tale. That in itself, amongst this crowd being what it was, is a word of caution for myself. But it is also a hard word of warning. Dear souls, not all are going to believe. That is a hard thing. If I possess within me the most hard to see, hard to measure, hard to believe even, ember of hope, that is a most blessed thing. That is a most blessed thing. These people walked with him daily. And on the third day, they're not looking for him, but they are telling those who have gone that what they have seen is untrue. That cannot possibly be. That has got to be made up. In this, I understand that everyone I meet. Now, this is a hard thing. Everyone I meet is not going to heaven. Some will say they believe, but they will not believe savingly. That is a hard thing. That is a hard thing. The most tremendous thing to happen to man is about to take place. He has risen from the dead. And these examples of how I would have just been just like them. They're making a mockery of it. They won't have it. How much more so the rest of the world that has no interest? We say that this is a serious matter. It is, forgive me, it is not to be toyed with. And it is far more than that. It is frightening when you stop and think. And the words seem to them as idle tales, and they believe them not. Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And note in verse 13, and behold, just like in verse 4, and behold, the Holy Ghost, Luke, this needs special attention. You tell him to look, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Something uncommon. Something unusual. Something different than we have known before. Behold, two of them headed down to Emmaus. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, this is where I'm trying to get at, starting last week, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Consider those words. Jesus himself drew near. Jesus himself drew near. We have talked in a very limited way, sometimes often, I guess, about a few things we have been able to see and to read about, and only scratching the surface, but just being amazed at what we see about the workings of the stars and the planets, space. And how unbelievable that is. We don't even know so much. We don't even know what we don't know. So vast and magnificent. But now consider this thought. The same one who created that put it into motion, established the laws for its circulation and continuance, that same one, where the scripture in Genesis we talked about, he hung the stars also, is about the only thing written there about it. A few words. Do you sense the gravity of it? That same one that did all those things is now drawing himself nigh. Two brothers walking along, talking about these things that they have seen. He established those things for, I suppose, so many different reasons, but for one thing, this is a clear testimony of his power and his strength and who he is. He hung the stars also. But now think on that. And this scripture has to have some relationship to myself, or it is of no value to me. These two brothers are walking along, and he decides to draw himself nigh unto them. It is things like that I am like John. I just want to drop my head. Why in this world would he do that? I am fully persuaded. Part of it is he loves her so much. He loves her so much. That he has to be close to her. These are two of his. And they're talking about these events. And he wanted to get in on it. Barrett once preached a sermon using the word magnifico. And to me, this is where that word magnifico fits in. I cannot ever emphasize the seriousness of it. He is serious about her. He is serious about her. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And on verse 20, I have to stop. And I would really like to blame the chief priests and rulers. I really would. I really would. But verse 7 says, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. And that is where I am found. That is my origin. That is my place. And as bad as I would like to, I cannot run from it. And I can try to hide, but it is mine. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And here's the point that I attempted to make last time. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He made as though he would go further. It reinforces my thought last time that he desires to commune with you. If there's the faintest little ember trying to survive, or if it is a raging forest fire, he desires to be with you. And it's far beyond what I can understand how a Holy Trinity can be in perfect unity. And the Lord Jesus would say, yes, I will go. I will go. And he is used and misused in every way. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they asked him not to, and he stayed. Stay with us. Okay. As we walk along the road of Emmaus each day, if this scripture is to be of any benefit to me, I am persuaded that he is delighted to commune with us each day. At any time. But verse 27 indicates that we have to be in the right order. Got to get your understanding correct. Bunch of wrong thinking won't work. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour. And the sun got late. Everybody's tired and weary. I believe these brothers had an ember, at least an ember, still glowing in there somewhere. They'd give out. And they rose up the same hour and returned, and they went all the way back to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. He was made known in breaking of bread. It didn't seem all that, when I looked at it last week, it didn't seem like it would be. But then it just continued to grow, and I hope it's been of some benefit to you. I just want to leave you stressing one more time. I believe in this we can see. I believe we can see. I believe we can see by the things that are created by him outside. By the testimonies he has put in place. By his coming from where he came from. He came to us. He drew near to these. He revealed himself to them. All of these, for myself, give me testimony that he truly does desire to be acquainted with us. And I'm talking about the individual here, not just the working of a church body, but down at even at Newell, Alabama, even there, he will come and he will dwell in commune with me. But I've got to listen to it. I've got to take note of it. Pay attention to it. Live by it. commit it in here. That is a mind-spinning thought. Remember, he hung the stars. And I'm standing before you saying that he will come and he will talk to me. That is profound. I don't know what other word. So the road to Emmaus can run right through Newell, Alabama. And I can be walking along and he may just start expounding. Because if I'm part of the church, he wants to be with the church. He wants to be near her. And it's not a one-sided balance. We looked already that not all are going to believe. Folks, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. This health and wealth phrase we use sometimes, that's what scares me about this kind of thing. Their balance. His love is so, so profound. But if that love is not reciprocated, no attraction back toward him, it's going to be a hard road. Well, I appreciate you enduring, and I hope of some ability that it is some value to you, some help. If there is no or nothing else to be added, then we will consider ourselves dismissed until next Sabbath.